we have a diverse final selection of news stories. More than £1.5 million has been awarded to help keep roofs over the heads of more than 120 homeless people in Norwich since the start of the pandemic. A blanket ban on driving at over 20 miles an hour is being considered by Norwich councillors, although Evening News readers seem strongly opposed to the idea. Goldilocks will have Norwich porridge in an online panto this year. A much-loved otter seen swimming in the River Wensum has died. On Saturday the 14th November, Norwich City climbed to the top of the Championship, and we will finish with a match report on their 1-0 away win at Middlesbrough. And again, we have some very late news. On Tuesday the 24th of November, the Norwich Council did vote in favour of the 20-mile-an-hour ban, and in the evening, the Norwich City team won away again, beating Stoke 3-2, and staying at the top of the Championship. Eddie Smith would have been delighted. But here is Tim with the first of our final group of stories.
More than £1.5 million has been awarded to help keep roofs over the heads of more than 120 homeless people given emergency accommodation in Norwich at the start of the coronavirus pandemic. When the first COVID-19 lockdown was introduced in March, councils were instructed by the government to get people who were sleeping rough into emergency accommodation. Norwich City Council said it had housed more than 120 people, and the vast majority of them have now been settled into more permanent housing. The government just awarded the council some £1.5 million through its Next Steps accommodation programme, as well as £25,000 from its cold weather fund to prevent those who've been helped from returning to a life on the streets. With the second national lockdown now in place until December the 2nd, the City Council is working with its partners in the Pathways project to help people who have found themselves back on the street or homeless for the first time. Kevin Maguire, Norwich City Council Cabinet Member with responsibility for rough sleeping, said, "While the initial focus was on supporting people into accommodation in the short term, COVID-19 has helped us speed up our ambitions to bring an end to rough sleeping in Norwich. This welcome influx of money helps us continue to develop plans to get the support, services and move-on accommodation in place so that no one is forced to return to the street. However, as winter approaches and with the pandemic still with us, the risk of people being pushed into homelessness increases. It's vital that the government continues to provide the necessary funding to allow local councils to provide safe and secure accommodations as well as support to rebuild lives. The council and its partners have put in place extra measures under the severe weather emergency provision. Under that protocol, bed spaces are made available after a temperature of 0 degrees Celsius or lower is forecast for at least 3 consecutive nights.
Calls to introduce a blanket 20-mile-an-hour speed limit on more city roads will be debated by councillors. Currently, all roads within Norwich Inner Ring Road have the reduced speed limits. However, a motion being tabled by the Greens at City Hall is calling for the Council to lobby County Hall to extend this to include the majority of roads within the Outer Ring Road as well. Thorpe Hamlet Councillor Ben Price said the plan would improve both road safety and carbon emissions around the city area. But Mike Stonard, Labour Cabinet Member for Transport, said the motion lacked ambition. While 70% of participants in the reader poll on this week's newspaper's website over the weekend said they would not support a blanket 20-mile-per-hour limit.
Norwich Porridge have been chosen to supply its locally sourced product to a company creating a production of Goldilocks. Worried that not having this vital element of the story would go against the grain, the team producing this year's online pantomime for the garage in Norwich and the workshop in King's Lynn started the search for the perfect porridge. The oats votes went to Norwich Porridge, who are supplying their product as part of this year's My First Panto production for seven and unders and their friends and family, which goes live from December the 4th. Jodie Huggins of Norwich Porridge said, "It's absolutely brilliant that Goldilocks has asked us to be her chosen porridge. We're honoured to be asked." Daniel Burgess, the show's writer and director, added, "We always like to collaborate with local businesses and organisations as much as we can. When Norwich Porridge offered to help, we were so grateful for their support." Oh, yes, we were. Norwich Porridge was set up 3 years ago with the idea of bringing healthy food options into people's homes.
A much-loved otter who has been swimming up and down the River Wensum in Norwich in recent months has died after becoming trapped in an illegal crayfish net. Local dog walker Phil Coles spotted a tethered crayfish net that had floated to the surface, and he pulled it to shore, worried that birds or other wildlife could get stuck in it. He then discovered the otter's dead body caught and trapped tightly around the netting. Mr. Coles said, "This young animal, that has brought happiness to so many, suffered a hideous death. She's no doubt spotted a crayfish in the net and pushed her way in for an easy meal, but got stuck. She would have fought to break free, panicking and gasping for breath, but the small net tightened its hold and she was powerless to escape." In Norfolk, crayfish nets are illegal to use, and in other parts of the UK, they can only be used with a licence, meaning the net should not have been used in the first place. Kevin Murphy, who volunteers for Norfolk Wildlife Rescue, spends much of his time kayaking up the River Wensum, clearing up litter and making sure the animals are safe, and is looking for more volunteers to help him do this. Mr. Murphy said, "I am devastated that an iconic, legally protected mammal has died after becoming entangled in an illegal crayfish net."
Norwich City swashbuckled their way to the title 2 years ago. Right now, they're sickening their championship rivals. Maybe we failed to see it at the time, but perhaps the tone was set on the opening weekend at Huddersfield. City had to dig in against the fired-up Terriers and deal with opponents who viewed the Canaries as a major scalp. There were uncomfortable moments and only fleeting glimpses of the smooth, polished passing rhythms we associate with a Daniel Fark team in these parts. Yet they found a way. Timu Puki cashed in on a poor back pass to square for Adam Ida to complete the job, before Tim Krul and those in front of him kept the padlock on. Fast forward 11 league games and 2.5 months, and not a lot appears to have materially changed, for Norwich or the rest. City were nowhere near the highest gears they possess against Middlesbrough, but they resisted. They were resolute and obdurate in the face of the concerted press from Johnny Howson's boys. They rode their luck on a bizarre penalty spurned by the hosts, but found a way from 12 yards through their own goal-scoring talisman. Then, under the leadership of Grant Handley, they kicked, tackled and headed everything Borough could muster in the final quarter to secure a third consecutive lead clean sheet. Lest one forget, Fark's first season at Norwich brought a club record of consecutive shutouts that included another 1-0 away triumph in the North East. But defensive resolution is not the badge you would adorn to the Germans' Carrow Road tenure. Norwich, in the main, romped to that championship title win on a diet of attacking adventure. It was thrilling football to the sound of the trumpets. Progress this time around feels far more circumspect, far more measured, far more economical, but no less impressive in both consistency and stealth. To eclipse a Middlesbrough who, by and large, had a full squad and a fortnight to prepare when the rump of Fark's resources were either scattered around Europe or on a treatment table, made this arguably the best win yet of the campaign. Excuses were readily available. that Norwich rejected the easy path and sought to scale the peak in front of them speaks volumes about the characters and the character within this dressing room. It provides reassurance whatever this season throws at City, they can weather adverse currents. That's why you can be sure there will already be unease among those in the Canaries' early slipstream. If there was any vulnerability or frailty after a bumpy exit from the Premier League, you would have expected it to surface in these first few weeks of combat. For Norwich to head to Stoke on an 8-match unbeaten run that's included tussles with Brentford, Bristol City and Swansea, prior to the latest engagement with Neil Warnock, should set alarm bells ringing. Farke and those on the same journey two seasons ago proved they're comfortable front-running. Before a ball was kicked at Huddersfield this season, they had a target on their collective back. The fact they've hit the top this early is unlikely to faze the current crop. If anything, there must be a degree of underlying excitement at what lies ahead, if they can marry a productive seam of attacking output. It's not what Championship rivals can muster that appears the gravest danger. It's the debilitating injuries and the clusters forming around certain parts of the squad. Jacob Sorensen must steer clear of both injury and suspension if Xavi Quintilla is unable to return in the short term. Now Bali Mumba is out for 10 weeks with a knee ligament injury. Likewise, with Adam Ida out for a similar length, City needs some positive news in the coming hours regarding Jordan Hugill's shoulder issue that cut short his Teesside return. Farke must feel every press conference demands a running commentary on Pukki's workload for club and country. But no Hugill or Ida during a portion of this congested pre-festive swing would place an even higher premium on the Finn's capacity for graft. City, of course, will not be alone in managing the negative impact on playing staffs from a contracted season and what feels, even by Championship standards, a challenging schedule. But the incessant nature of the grind may also in part underscore why it has to be a different path this time around. Less glitter and more grime. If it ends in the same destination come next May, there'll be few complaints.